Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, I'm talking about now for some time. I'm curious what you guys think about this, the defense. They give up 33 points to Minnesota Vikings. Obviously, one was the punt return, so you could actually say, you know, whatever, 26 it is. But Kirk Cousins is a quarterback that we sat there and we looked at the last 7 games. Who were the worst quarterbacks you're about to face? Kirk Cousins was one of them. You know, Derek Carr's another one. And he went 30 for 37, 299 yards, 3 touchdowns, and gave you an interception. But overall, this defense came into this game number one in DVOA. I think we got to come up with a different metric. I think the opponent should somehow factor into it. Was this defense exposed, in your opinion?
Right? No. No, I don't think they were. I think they did a really good job on Dalvin Cook running the football. When you look at the Pats D, they had no answer for Jefferson. So he had 11 targets. He caught 9 passes for 139 yards, and including the first touchdown. I mean, like every single time Kirk Cousins was in a jam or he needed something, he went to Jefferson. I feel like every single time the Patriots were almost there, he got rid of the ball. I thought he had one of his best games. He had one of his better games. So I feel
against
like
your defense
against, yeah, I think that, you know, everybody keeps talking about Matthew Judon. And, you know, like there's a bunch of times he was close or the tackle did a really good job. Or they were really aware, like what his philosophy is. Like it's either I'm going to speed to power you. I'm going to do the whole inside stunt thing. And then the tackle and the guard usually don't pass it off. And he usually goes right inside that guard who is too preoccupied with the defensive tackle. They managed it well. I'll give credit to that Minnesota Vikings offensive line who was terrible the week before against Dallas. Their offensive line played great, and then he played great. I think that is one of those situations where you tip your cap and you say, you know what, Justin Jefferson is a unicorn. So how are you going to stop that guy?
I think you're right. And it's unusual because I don't think it was the game that – I know it wasn't the game that I was expecting to see from the defense. I don't think it was a bad game by them. But I had expected the pass rush to be all over Kirk Cousins. And to the Vikings' credit, they really game planned the hell out of that in order to give him the protection that he needed against Matthew Judon, Uche, against Dietrich Wise Jr., who had been cleaning up recently. And Kirk Cousins was good. That said, like what jumps out at me is so unusual is the Justin Jefferson bit. Just because that's been, again, another one of Bill's calling cards that – he takes away, he makes you play with one hand tied behind your back, like one arm tied behind mm-hmm. your back. He takes away your best weapon, and that's something that he's been able to do with receivers that I think are just as talented as Justin Jefferson in the past. And I don't know why. We always hear also how Bill Belichick is good on the short week. We know they were planning for this game weeks ago. I'm just not sure what the explanation of why Justin Jefferson was able to clean up so much against this defense, which I don't think had a bad game.
Well, I think they were exposed, though. I mean, you know, the Vikings went 8 for 15 on third down. They were 3 for 5 in the red zone. You know, I mean, you know, Jonathan Jones is the number one corner in the NFL. You know, according to some metrics,
okay,
or top
that's
three,
the PFF.
They were number one defense DVOA. I mean, I'm just saying, like, I should have asked you what you thought of them going into it, because a lot of people looked at it and said they're one of the better defenses in the league. And
do you feel differently now?
Yeah. The only reason why we felt that was because of who they played.
I don't like, know. I still think they have a lot of talent there.
Offense they have faced, you know, since Mac Jones has come back, that when they take the field, they're actually trying to score a touchdown. Like, they were trying to move the ball downfield because the Jets weren't and the Colts weren't. But it depends on what you thought. Did you think they were a good defense, slightly above average defense, which they are? Are they elite? Are they number one? No. No, they're not. It's about the competition they were playing beforehand.
How about top five? Do you put them in the top five defenses of the league? I know it's still like...
No, not yet. I got to see more. Let's see what they look like.
What if
they give up 30 against Buffalo? What if Arizona puts up 27-30? What if Oakland goes for another 27? What if they come back and, you know, play Buffalo again and put up another 30? Like, you know, like what Miami puts up 30? Like, what if the last 6-7 games, just like last year, they end up giving up 28 to 35 points a game?
I hear you. I just feel like we're in week 12 now, and to sit here and say, like, well, we have to wait through the next six games to determine whether or not this is a really strong defense. It's like you only play who you play. You know, if the defense falls apart, then at the end of the season, I'll say, well, they fell apart. I still think they're a really strong defense. I might put them in the top five of the league.
Well, and so, I mean, but it is like the stats are the stats. If you look at them, you know, Kirk Cousins, 30 of 37, almost 300 yards, three touchdowns, one interception, and he was only sacked one time. He's only sacked one time. Dalvin Cook, he did a great job stopping the run. Dalvin Cook had nowhere to go, only 57 total yards rushing between everybody.
And they've been good at that. This whole season. They did it with Nick Chubb as well.
But I mentioned this earlier. So you had three of the top players at their position in one game. You had I'm not even mentioning Thielen because Jefferson has taken his spot. Hockenson. And then you throw in Dalvin Cook. I feel like that's an extreme, extreme challenge. And I would say Jonathan Jones, back-to-back weeks where he undercut the route but dropped the interception. Should have been another interception from Jonathan Jones, but he couldn't haul in. That's 2 weeks in a row that he couldn't finish the play. But, Lou, I don't – listen, they're not a bad defense at all.
Are they not a bad defense. Are they an elite defense? Are they an extremely strong defense?
I think they're a strong defense. I would put them up against really anyone. I feel like there's not a lot of holes in their defense. Yes, I mean, Justin Fields went nuts. I think they play him again. They slow him down. I feel like Justin Jefferson was an obvious problem. Like, it was an obvious problem. They don't have an answer for Justin Jefferson.
Doesn't that make them not elite then if they have all these problems?
Well, I didn't say they're elite. Okay. I said they're a strong defense. Like, I would put them up with anybody. I think anyone is going to struggle with Justin Jefferson. So, out of the three guys, who do they choose to stop?
Cowboys didn't.
Like, again, like every blind squirrel is going to find the occasional acorn. So, you use the Dallas Cowboys as the example. They played terrible.
Yeah.
They got beat by 37 points. They scored 3 points. So, I think everyone's going to have a crappy game. But if you take out the worst game and the best game, I think the Patriots' defense is solid.
Okay, but I'm just saying, I think that they do a great job of really just bullying bad teams. Like, they're second in the league in sacks. And we sat there and said, look what the Cowboys did to Minnesota. They sacked them 7 times. A big reason why they're second in the league in sacks is because what they've done the last three.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's one of the reasons why they're second in the league in sacks. Would they have 9 sacks? Was it against the Colts? Like 9, and I think they had like 6 against the Jets. Like their numbers were inflated. Like all these metrics, DVOA, second in the league in sacks, and they just feasted on these teams the last 3 weeks and other teams that, like, you know, again, they go up against average good quarterbacks and they can't win those games. Of course, when they play really bad ones, they pitch shutouts or don't give up a touchdown, and it's just like last year. It's the same thing.
So I think
I don't know if they're top five.
Year.
I think they're a good defense.
Okay, but think about it. Like, so that not if you
I
just take
stop
away
a good offense.
If you take away the kickoff return only,
26 points.
It's like you're. I think that's my point. You're right where you need
they
to be.
Off the field.
Like, good luck. No, again, but you're still right there. Even with your struggles on third down, even with your lack of production on third down, like even with all that. As long as you don't allow a kickoff freaking return, like, it's not Cordarrelle Patterson back there. So I just feel like these things that, like, you're in these games, and with all the stupid things that you've done, you're literally still in the game.
So we don't think they're elite.
I don't even know if there is an elite defense right now.
Yeah,
I wouldn't put them elite.
That's part of the reason that I'd put them in.
I don't know who's elite, but I feel like they're
the top five.
They're not. Listen, they can take away. Like, they usually do a decent job of taking away your best player. They chose Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson. We're gonna force you to do it. He made some unbelievable catches, And I would sit there, that's not going to happen again. With him, it does. Like, this is what he does. So maybe you approach him differently. Like, so now they have, who they have? Diggs this week. Okay, Dawson Knox. Okay, and you have Josh Allen running, not Dalvin Cook.
Gabe Davis.
I mean, it doesn't get any easier.
No, it gets harder.
And, you know, but think about it. If you just, and I think, you know, is Buffalo better than Minnesota?
Yes.
I mean, they've been up and down.
Their quarterback's better, you know? But Minnesota's got better weapons.
Didn't you just name four weapons that?
Yeah, but they're not as good.
Buffalo has.
They're not as good as Jefferson, in my
opinion. You don't think Stephon Diggs is as good as Justin Jefferson?
No. No, I think Jefferson's the best wide receiver. I think Thielen is.
I think that's jumping the gun a little bit. I think that's like calling Justin Jefferson Randy Moss.
Well, no, so if he's breaking all his records.
No, so you tell me. Like, do they have a Dalvin Cook? No. Do they have Hawkinson? Is he Knox? The same area? Okay, but then
push.
You got Thielen, Jefferson, those four players, they lose that running element. Their quarterback is the runner, and he's a better quarterback than Cousins. I'm just talking about like Jefferson, Thielen, Cook, Hawkinson. Those four guys, I think, are better than what Buffalo has, but their quarterback is better than Cousins.
See, think about it. So the last two times the Patriots played against the Buffalo Bills, they didn't punt once. Not once.
Oh, my God.
So think about that. Think about, like, so your issues are all, to me, it seems like the issues, especially with these dynamic quarterbacks, like, got to have it. Like, last week against, on Thursday with Buffalo and the Lions, like, the Lions played them tough to the end. Oh, well, you left too much time on the clock. He goes right down there, and then they win the game. Like, that's all that guy needs. So even if you feel good about yourself, if you don't manage the situation, if you don't use all the clock, if you don't put him in a terrible position, he will come back and go 80 yards on your ass, like, in a second. And that, to me, is ultimately ends up being the difference. You don't have an answer for him, especially in crunch time.
Yeah, well, I just think it's still unknown. We'll see what this defense is. You got another test. You really got to test the rest of the year. I want to dive into this when we come back. Some of the Billy O'Brien rumors. Like, will this guy return next year? Do you want him here? I think everybody would agree. But would he want to come back? We'll dive into Billy O'Brien coming back here, possibly as the offensive coordinator next year. We'll do it.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Speed this up. We're walking around out here. We're walking back to the huddle. We walk to the line of scrimmage. It looks like speed the
Let's go.
Get the call in. Speed the up.
Let's go, fellas.
I'm tired of watching this. Slow.
This is Billy O'Brien in Hard Knocks. This guy's losing his mind. Remember him? Kind of he and Brady in the sidelines. Remember going at it? That was Bill O'Brien, who's now the offensive coordinator at the University of Alabama. And I saw this report. It was Jeff Schultz of The Athletic. Apparently, Bill O'Brien is considering a return to the NFL. Now, we know last year he interviewed, I believe it was for the Jacksonville job. Right? And people say, okay, well, I mean, when Josh McDaniels left, everybody was convinced that Billy O would be back here. Like, he's going to come back here. He's not going to stay at Alabama. Well, he stayed at Alabama. And now he apparently is thinking about a return to the NFL. So, obviously, everyone's on board, right? But is this the position that he's looking for? Do you think he wants to come back to the NFL as an offensive coordinator?
To take a, basically, what I would consider a lateral move. From leaving the closest thing to a professional program, the offensive coordinator, you know, of Alabama, and then going to an offensive coordinator job in the NFL. And I say no. I personally say no. To me, he's already been a coach in the NFL. He's
but you would want him.
Oh, what I
mean, everybody
absolutely.
Would want.
Absolutely.
Speak the f***
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
You, I think everything would be, I really feel like there would be a sense of relief. Really, even with Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, that Bill O'Brien was in the building. Like, he's in charge. It's my offense. I'll tell you what to do. You've been doing this wrong, and now we're going to correct it. And I think Mac Jones would be so unbelievably happy.
So I would certainly be in favor of Bill O'Brien coming back as long as it was a two-year deal. If they could get him to come back on a two-year deal, I would be completely for it because he's an incredible offensive coordinator. I think he would be a perfect fit with Mac here, and he knows everything in New England, has the time here under his belt and everything, and Mac needs someone like him. But I don't. It's already going to be difficult enough that you're putting Mac in a position where he has three different coordinators in his first 3 years in the league, but then to put him in four different offensive coordinators in his first four, like the continuity, I just think it would be so drastic to break up any kind of continuity.
So you're afraid he comes for a year.
Yeah.
And then walks.
Which I think was a part of last year. I mean, I know that the reports were, well, he doesn't want to burn Saban because Saban's his guy and, you know, Saban wants O'Brien there for this year. But I also think that's part of it is like, okay, how long are we going to get you here? What do we have to promise you to come here? Because as Christian just said, like it is, he's in a good spot now. It's not like, of course, he probably wants to get back into the NFL, but it's not like he's acting from a place of desperation.
See, that would be a concern, right? Because you go from Josh McDaniels to Matt Patricia to Bill O'Brien. Next thing you know, he gets a head coaching job because next year's offense is better and somebody wants him to be their head coach. And now all of a sudden, the following year, you're on your fourth offensive coordinator. But this year makes a lot more sense as far as what Bill O'Brien coming here this after this offseason than last year. Like last year, it was like, you know, should he leave Alabama, Bryce Young, Heisman candidate, to come here to a team that just watched Josh McDaniels walk out the door, the team go 10-7 to make the playoffs, the quarterback being the best rookie in the class, who actually ended up being on a Pro Bowl, whatever you want to call it. But like, how much upside was there? Like, if he came here this year and it was like it came back a little bit and the team didn't perform well, you'd be looking at Bill O'Brien sitting there saying, eh, you know, it was you know, you went down from Josh McDaniels to Bill O'Brien. Your offense didn't look the same, but Josh was better. Now if he comes walking in the door next year, oh, he's going to look like a genius. After dealing with Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, he's going to come in. Mac Jones, who had a bad sophomore year, you know, all of a sudden, his third year in the league. Now he's got Billy O, and if Billy could take him back to where he was or even higher than what he was his rookie year, now he looks good. Now there's a lot more upside for Bill O'Brien to come back to.
Dude, I tell you what. When I think about what this offense needs is a legit adult in the room. I feel like a lot of the veteran players probably look at these other two and say almost like a substitute teacher. Like, you know, you just listen to it because you have to. Maybe you don't trust what they're saying. There's really no really bad recourse. You don't really – whatever. It's like it is what it is. You don't have any history or resume. Bill O'Brien's got a significant resume from what he did at Penn State, turning that program around, what he did at Houston, and what he's doing in Alabama. The thing that is curious to me is that most offensive coordinators, Most of them. I would actually say the only one I can think of that didn't leave there and become a head coach at either college or the pros was Brian Daboll. Offensive coordinator, wins a national championship, leapfrogs back to the NFL because he doesn't necessarily have the resume as the other ones who were, like Lane Kiffin was a head coach. Steve Sarkisian was a head coach. Jim McElwain was a head coach. All these guys, if they leave, like this next step is a head coach, either at a major university that's going to pay you a truckload of money or to the NFL. Like, you don't take a lateral move. Like, what does he need to prove by coming to New England? I just feel like it would be a waste of his time. Like, he's already interviewing for head coaching jobs last year.
Or if he doesn't get one. I mean, I'm just saying, I don't know how high he is on everybody's list. He tried to, you know, interview for Jacksonville last year. Didn't get that one. I mean, you know, we can go through the list of how many teams are looking for head coaches. But, you know, what if it kind of like the early signs are, yeah, maybe he's not. There's an opening here that could fit, but he's not their guy.
Do you
think
that
for someone else?
Like, do you think that?
And he just wants to get back in the league.
What about the relation between Bill and Bill?
That's the one that is a little bit of an unknown. I don't know. You tell me. So he's down there in Houston. Didn't the Patriots like threaten to sue the Texans over Caserio, like tampering?
Yeah.
And then they had to wait a year, and then they took Caserio.
Yeah.
How do you think Bill feels about Billy O'Brien tampering on his general manager?
Yeah.
He had to squash that, only to a year later pull his general manager with him down to Houston. How do you think that?
He says, "Hey, now you owe me. Come back." And
well, we know Bill. Bill's sort of like, you know what? You're dead to me. That's usually how he would go about it.
For a little while, then you come back from the dead, and it's okay. I mean, we've seen that with people before.
I don't know how ugly it got
behind the scenes. I'm saying. Like, when you file tampering charges and you lose the guy, I don't know. Were there conversations between these two? Like, you know, Billy, what are you thinking? You effing this and this. Screw you, Bill. I want the guy. You don't need the guy. You know what? I don't know where it went behind the scenes, but there's a chance that might be a little sour relationship given that.
Say, I would say that if I'm Bill O'Brien, like, what do you have? You would have to pay him like a head coach to come here. He's making a ton of money.
Well, look at all the money you're saving this year. These two boobs.
But I do think you'd have to pay him a truckload of money. I do agree with you, Megan. Listen, you got to give me 2 years. Because more importantly, I know you're going to leave, but I really need to. I need to mentor somebody else. You coach them so I can elevate them, or maybe you're really kind of mentoring Patricia and Judge. But if I am Bill O'Brien, I'm trying to think of all the jobs that are open now. Because when these jobs open up, these guys get guaranteed $80 million.
College.
Like you just mentioned Hugh Freeze.
Hugh Freeze just signed on to Auburn.
Yeah, who was at Ole Miss, who got caught kind of messing around with some hookers,
yep.
Calling some hookers and trying to hook up with them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then he gets fired, goes to a high school, goes to Liberty, faith-based school, just like BYU, finds his way.
Sure he does.
Finds
God.
Finds Christ again. Yep. He's born again.
Yep.
And then sure enough, Auburn, who just fired Harsin, still owe him money. Now they're going to bring him.
Well, look at these guys. Matt Rhule just got the job down in Nebraska, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's so much money.
There's so much money at those big schools. Level. So, I don't know if I'd want to recruit, but if I'm Bill O'Brien, I'm an NFL coach. I'm not a coordinator in the NFL. At least I'm coming across hard times.
I want to go to the callers here real quick because John in the car brings up something interesting as well. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, what about Bill O'Brien replacing Bill Belichick and let him pick his own coaches? I think Belichick's all done this year. They maybe go 1-5 the next 6 games. And if Kraft wants to see a Super Bowl in his lifetime, I think he needs to make a change.
All right, John, appreciate it. I disagree that this is Bill's last year. I don't think there's any chance of him walking away until he breaks Don Shula's record. But,
and he's not going to get fired.
No. But we are started entering this window. Right? Of like, you bring in Billy O'Brien here. I'm just saying, and I don't know if he's a Jonathan Kraft guy or not, but if you come in here as an offensive coordinator and you spend 3 years, you're kind of in that area where, Bill Belichick might be walking away. Right? Like, it's not like 5 years ago, the whole thing like Josh McDaniels is going to be the next guy. Well, yeah, if he's willing to stick around for 15 years, he might be the next guy. But we're at the point now where it's not a 10-year wait until Bill Belichick leaves, or a 5-year wait, maybe. Maybe it's 3. I just don't know if they like Bill O'Brien that much to succeed.
To me, if you really want to make a drastic move and change things, that really is a guy like him. Now it sounds, it looks, and feels comfortable because he understands. GM. Well, I just feel like you can't like bringing in a young offensive secondary coach or something like that, or an offensive coordinator from another team, hijacking him, paying him like a head coach, and having him run your offense. Stay out of the way. I'll tell you when I need your advice. That whole thing is the only you can. A young guy is going to be intimidated by Bill. It's got to be an older guy that's willing to spar with him and willing to tell him that he's wrong.
Yeah, but look how restricted it is, because it's also, you forgot the one important thing too, that's been here before.
Well, also, I mean,
sometimes
Christian,
I feel like that hamstrings them.
But
doesn't,
Bill doesn't go outside.
But it limits them.
But yeah, it's been, how has it limited them when that's been every offensive coordinator?
Has been in-house.
Up. Yeah, has been.
I know. From outside.
The well runs dry.
Yes.
So when would they ever go outside and pluck some kid who they think is like an amazing quarterbacks coach or something out in working with Justin Herbert with the Chargers or something and bring him in because, oh, he knows how to work with quarterbacks. He knows how to develop this offense and everything. Like, they've never done that before. It would be so much more likely for them to go to Bill O'Brien, one, because of the Saban connection. Would work in favor at this point, and also because they're like the mafia. Like, they don't want to go outside of the inner circle.
But the thing is, like, years ago when you had like old veterans here, like Charlie Weiss and Scar and whoever, just all these older coaches, they had guys coming up behind them, and they stuck around. Yeah, stuck around. Ivan Fierce, they stuck around for a long time, all those coaches, and the young guys had years and years and years behind them. Now I feel like there's like this gap. Like, every coach they have now is just, like, young, or Patricia and Judge, who just aren't good offensively. I just feel like sometimes the well runs dry.
What, like Nick Haley, just not ready for him?
Maybe he's not.
Or maybe he's just not that guy.
Maybe he's just not that guy. His deal's up in the air. Maybe I heard somebody say maybe he's going back out to Vegas to be with Josh. I don't know.
Oh, God.
Maybe, so,
well, that's the other part.
But it's like, yeah, I mean, they've had this turnover in coaches, but just to assume that it's always going to work with the next guy's a group that comes in, they've sort of hit a wall right now.
Well, you are right that it would be completely out of character for him to grab a guy that he doesn't really know. So you would have to kind of figure it out on our own to kind of figure out who does he speak really highly of, who does he really respect. Is there anybody left from that Mike Shanahan tree? Is anybody on his staff?
I'm trying to think if there's anybody whose kid like plays lacrosse at Johns Hopkins.
Yeah, yeah. Is there
friend?
Any of those
it's
guys
be something
that
like
want to be a
yeah.
Eventually, just run out of friends of Bill. And you limit yourself, to your point. You just limit yourself. Let's go to one more call. Let's go to Tim in Hanover. Ryan, if you could pull him up. Go ahead, Tim.
You guys are so awesome. I love listening to your show. Seriously, I'm not trying to just kiss your butt.
There's
the reason why I say this. Here it is. You got these two guys that never even went to trips all year long. They must have listened, had so much pressure put on them. They wound up finally putting it out there, and they didn't just do it once. They did it like a million times. They took 50% off of Mac for the game. They wound up, that offense looked great. You know what? You can only do so much with what you have. You're missing a couple of pieces. The drafts the last 2 years came good for them, and a lot of people doubted in the beginning, but now it's showing that there is good possibilities there. The defense has one or two guys. That's all we need. The line is phenomenal. The line is above average. We got a good defense, but we need one or two good guys.
Tim? Who's O-line?
No, the defense.
Oh, okay.
The defense.
Oh, okay.
The defense.
Okay.
Yeah, the O-line needs a couple more guys, needs some help, but we need a couple of elite guys for this guy. We made the budgets the last couple years, so now we should be able to snatch a couple for next year. And then I'll tell you what, we get that coordinator that you guys are talking of, because those two guys we have, they belong in NFL 101 for offensive coordinators. They're horrible. They don't belong back. They got to get somebody solid that can help Mac out and mentor him like Josh was doing before he bailed. But he had to go, man. It was his time.
Yep.
You guys are unbelievable. Keep it
Thanks,
up.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it. Tim's excited. Thinks they're close. I mean, again, it's like I hope that people realize like who's really to blame here when it comes to Patricia and Judge, right?
Well, he tells you all the time.
Yeah, because, I mean, it gets to the point where you can only beat up Matt Patricia for so long for not being a good offensive coordinator. Nobody thought he was going to be. One guy thought he could handle it.
Okay, but can you get someone like, with Bill O'Brien, to your point that you raised the question of, You know, is there bad blood between those two? Are those guys going to let egos get in the way of what could be a good partnership for both of them for the next couple of years, like whatever they decide to do after, however the franchise moves on? It would be good for the franchise for Bill O'Brien to come back here. I just wonder if Bill is, like, at the point where he wants to... We talk about Bill O'Brien coming back, and does he want to be, you know, working under Bill Belichick? Does Bill Belichick want to have someone challenging like Bill O'Brien come in and say, like, oh, this, all this stuff you did last year was really screwed up. Who told Mac how to do, like, to do it this way? This is totally, like, Mac wasn't doing this when he came in, and now look at him. Like,
maybe we could take notes this time.
Bill O'Brien will be the head coach of a team that has a young quarterback that needs more direction, more coaching and learning.
Yours?
Or another team that is going to draft a quarterback. With all these quarterbacks, there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks coming out in this draft. Like, what team do you think is going to draft a quarterback in the first round?
Denver?
Ooh, what about Mr. Unlimited? What about that guy?
What about him?
I was looking up, like, you know,
the worst offense in football. What about Mr. Unlimited?
Things have gotten so bad in Denver. So bad in Denver. They may fire Hackett, and maybe they do, you know, draft a quarterback. But
to your point, they're going to be a lot of
positions. They're already committed to him.
Oh, God.
What?
Why would Bill O'Brien want to go out there with Russell Wilson?
Well, I mean,
they need
one more year. Then they could buy him out with $31 million.
To me, I would rather go and try to fix Russell Wilson. You know what I mean? Than try to, like, grab somebody and find out you got Zach Wilson instead. You know, and you're just like, oh, then you're done. Then you're fired. Like, you
Arizona.
Know what I mean? Then you're fired. That's why I give, I mean, you know, we'll get into a little bit of the games here in a little bit. But, like, Salah, I give him a ton of credit moving on from that guy. But, I mean, if you're Bill O'Brien, you go to Denver. Once again, you're walking into a situation that was supposed to work that didn't. You go in and fix it. Like, that's opportunity. That's what you want. You know what I mean? Rather than maybe going to a team that's like, you know, whatever, just trying to find a guy. You may want to find a guy, but it ain't easy to find a guy.
Carolina needs a new hook, new head coach.
Yeah.
They'll need one. Nathaniel Hackett may get bounced early on, mm-hmm. but new ownership, who knows what the hell they're going to do. Mm-hmm. They have no track record. I'm trying to think who else is going to get fired. I thought Cliff Kingsbury was flirting with it a little bit in Arizona. I mean, because I think Bill O'Brien will instantly come in. You couldn't be. You're not that lucky, is what I'll say with Bill O'Brien being the offensive coordinator. You're not that lucky. No freaking way that he comes here and allows Bill to be his boss.
Well, it'd be a good fit. There's no question. I think everybody in New England would love to have him here, given what we've seen all year long. All right, waiting here. Waiting to hear from Mac Jones.
Man, that'd be awesome.
Oh, I miss that.
Yeah. Oh.
When we hear when he's coming down, we'll let you know. Obviously, give you a little heads up when we come back. I want to take a look real quick over the weekend because it was not. Not just a Thursday night Thanksgiving loss for the Patriots, but it was not a good weekend for the New England Patriots around the league. We'll look at some other games next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We've been saying it now for a few weeks. When you look at the AFC, it really comes down to kind of top nine teams and maybe four battling for the last couple wild card spots. That would be you, the New York Jets, Los Angeles Chargers, and the Cincinnati Bengals. And you lost on Thursday, and unfortunately, all those other teams won yesterday. Now, I want to get your thoughts on Mike White, because the last time we saw Mike White play a game was last year, November 14th against Buffalo. He threw no touchdowns and four picks. A quarterback rating of 33. Somehow, against the Chicago Bears, this guy went 22 for 28, 315 yards, three touchdowns, no picks, and a quarterback rating of 149.3. I know Jets fans want to believe they found their guy. But at least for one game, they did. And I'll say, with that defense, kind of makes them a more interesting game, a team, I would say, right? Like, what we saw with Zach Wilson, we didn't give them any chance.
I think it's the most predictable thing in the world.
What's that?
That Mike White came out and lit it up, had the best game of his career after they didn't just bench Zach Wilson. They demoted him to third line. Like, he didn't even dress
I'm
in
sure
uniform
Zach was
for
cheering
game.
For him, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. Go, I'm Mike. Sure he's very supportive. And then afterwards, it's all like, oh, man, the locker room loves this guy. I mean, it's tough. I don't think much has, like, I don't think he's undergone some drastic transformation all of a sudden and that he's going to be their franchise quarterback. Like, I still can't make sense of how the Patriots played so poorly against the Bears, because that defense just looked like absolute trash against Mike White.
Well, you gotta admit, the week before, I mean, Bill really screwed that thing up. Nobody knew who the hell the quarterback was.
I know,
nobody
but
in the team
still,
knew who the quarterback
it's
was.
Just like, I don't know. I'm. It doesn't make me more scared of the Jets, if that's what you're asking. I still think the Jets are a team that is one that you could easily knock off in order to sneak into the playoffs. I mean, that you could steal their spot through eliminating some of these other teams that, like, for example, the one that you have a head-to-head with, the Bengals.
I think it got more complicated.
For the Jets?
No, for you. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah.
When you look at the Jets and you're like, okay, Zach Wilson.
But I'm
Wilson,
not afraid of the Jets.
No. I mean, you beat him twice with Zach Wilson. But, I mean, if he's no longer their quarterback and you've got a team, a buy-in, did you see those guys, the wide receivers? Like Wilson and Elijah Moore, they're like they're so happy to have somebody that could actually throw them the football after screaming, you know, that we need to do more as wide receivers. Trust us, wide receivers. They got a guy out there slinging it. Now, next couple weeks, I think it's Minnesota and Buffalo. There's a tough schedule. But I would say after you beat them the second time, you sort of like, they're an afterthought. Now you got to just worry about Cincinnati and the Chargers, and I would say now they can kind of hang in there.
Looking at the seedings right now, like if the playoffs started today, you look at the NFL playoff machine. Obviously, Chiefs are the number one seed. The Jets and the Dolphins, that would be the seventh seed versus the second seed. Cincinnati, sixth seed versus Tennessee again. And then the fifth seed would be Buffalo versus the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, it's going to be really tough to sneak in there. In this scenario, the Chargers don't make it, and you don't make it. So the fact that the Dolphins won again, and they're 8-3, and hell, Tua Tagovailoa came out of that game at the end of the third quarter. I mean, the score does not indicate how badly the Dolphins
beat the Texans.
It was it?
Yeah,
okay.
It was ridiculous.
The Bills win a close one. They're 8-3. The Bengals, again, they're 7-4. Man, the Jets are 7-4. Like, I don't see this holding up. Like, they only need to win. They got six games left also. There's no way they hold this, right?
Well, I'm just saying, if they win a couple, it's 9-8. You got to go 3-3 to get there.
I know. And
you had the head-to-head matchup against them.
Yeah, you have the head-to-head matchup with three of these teams ahead of you, though. I mean, the Bengals, who look at like a completely different team from the beginning of the year in that they look so much better. And then you have the Bills and the Dolphins. And I don't know. I think you definitely have to beat the Dolphins at the end of the year. I don't know if you can steal one against the Bengals. Like, it's just very tough because who knows? Maybe the Bills have been up and down as of late. I still think that they're one of the best teams in the AFC. So it's in one, like, you have an opportunity with going head to head against these other AFC teams in front of you, but none of them are easy to take down the way that I think that the Jets could have been.
No, and things get worse too. I mean, just saying as the day went on, because like the Bengals, you know, no Mixon, no Ja'Marr Chase. It looks like Chase will be back next week and maybe Mixon is back, but you're in Tennessee and you're thinking, okay, Tennessee's going to win the division. So you just want Tennessee to beat everybody. Right? Just whatever. Win your division, beat everybody, help you out a little bit. And the Bengals pull that game out. You know, they go to 7-4. And then you get the Chargers, who are in a dogfight with the Cardinals. They find a way to come back. They score a touchdown. They get a 2-point conversion. And that's a team that's now 6-5 that we look at and say, okay, well, they're getting a little bit healthier as well. You know, they've been beat up earlier in the year. Wide receivers, Allen's been out all year. Williams is still out. And their line's been beat up. Defensive has been beat up. So I would have liked to have seen them 5-6, you know, and not 6-5, but they pulled that thing out late against the Cardinals. So all the three teams around you, that I believe two of those teams are going to win the wild card out of those four. You lost and the other three teams won.
Well, really the only team I would say, so the Chargers, man, I tell you what, it really feels like they have a better chance of making the playoffs than the Jets. There's not another team that is actually currently in the playoffs that I think is going to fall off. I don't think Cincy is. I don't think Baltimore is. I don't think the Dolphins are. I don't think the Bills are. The Jets, I think they're in a precarious situation. I think eventually, like, it's going to catch up to them, right? Kansas City, obviously they're not going anywhere. Tennessee, I don't think Tennessee's division is so unbelievably bad.
Yeah, it's awful.
I mean,
yeah.
It's like the next best team is the Tennessee Titans at 4-6. Sorry, the Indianapolis Colts at 4-6-1.
See, my thing is, like, when you look at the Jets, the Pats, even the Chargers, and the Bengals, I don't think any of them are good enough to go look at a schedule and go win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. You know, I don't. Like, I'm looking at the Chargers, and it's like, listen, the Chargers still, you know, they're 6-5, but they get the Raiders, they get the Colts, they get the Rams, they get Denver.
They're like the opposite of what you have
right
to face.
Now
they're at the easy portion.
Yeah,
of their
and they got a Miami and a Tennessee. Those are the last six, but there's four winnable games there. But I don't know if they're good enough to just pencil in four wins. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sure they're good enough to sit there and say, yeah, they'll beat the Colts, no question about it. Like, I don't know. Like, Matt Ryan, Jonathan Taylor go off. Are you definitely going to beat, you know, I don't know, Las Vegas next
week?
So
who are you – because there are certain positions where they're just – I feel like they're just solidified and there's no risk of them losing out. Right? Like, Miami, Buffalo, solidified.
Chiefs.
Baltimore, Chiefs, solidified. There's not – I mean, Tennessee, solidified. There's not a lot of wiggle room here. Like, you're going to play Cincinnati head-to-head – and hopefully you can do some damage and catch a break there.
See, that's why that Cincinnati game was huge, because I know they're 7-4, right?
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay, mm-hmm. But like, that's a team that's 7-4. If you lost that game, you're tied at 6-5. They still got Kansas City next week. They got Cleveland with Deshaun Watson. They got Tampa Bay. They got you. They got Buffalo. Then they got Baltimore.
Yeah,
they've
no
got the toughest
either.
Schedule. This schedule is just as tough as yours, probably harder, or in that same area at least. So them winning last week against Tennessee, like, that's huge. Their schedule is a bitch when you look at it. But, you know, they won a big game last week, and, of course, sitting at 7-4 now. That'll be a big game against you. But their schedule's tough.
Yeah, you're right, though, because you need to catch a break, and you obviously need to – listen, I think the odd man out here is going to be like a, you know, musical chairs. It's going to be the Jets.
Yeah.
So I think it's really going to end up being between the Jets, the Patriots – and the Chargers.
Yeah.
That's it. All three for one spot.
I really feel like it's going
to
be the
Patriots. Ready to give it to the Bengals yet.
And the Chargers elbowing each other out for that seventh spot.
I would say, like, the Bengals, I feel better about the Bengals. Jamar Chase coming back. Joe Burrow's your quarterback.
I know, but they just play really – they play all playoff teams, basically. You know, teams in it, except for Cleveland. But they're going to have two weeks of Deshaun Watson.
But you're already at seven. So you just need to get to that nine-win thing. You know, that's your goal.
Deshaun Watson is week 13, right?
He's coming back this week.
Yeah, he's back, baby.
This week?
This
Uh-oh.
Week.
Damn!
He's back.
How do we get here already?
I know, he's back this week.
Six games left.
He is back this week. All right, listen, we got Mac Jones. We heard we're going to talk to him, what do you say, after 5 o'clock, I believe? So we'll see
after
if he's coming
five,
in.
After 5, so, I mean, he may be walking in the door as soon as we come back from break.
All right, we'll see. So we'll have Mac Jones here in the next half hour, that's for sure. Maybe when we come back after this. But if we don't have him, we want to dive into what we saw on Thursday night offensively from Mac Jones, this offense, and some red zone struggles. It's Maloney, Foria, and Mago down here in a Patriots Patriots Monday. Talk about this Pats offense next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.